made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thanks for joining me for our second hour. We're going to get right into technology and to our callers as well. As I was saying, if I was in a situation where I received an offer from the court, I would have a promissory note on their desk within 72 hours. With it would be fiduciary instructions, their offer accepted for value, and my foreign advisory, my letter of instructions, my information to them about the jurisdictional issues and my commercial status as the first-in-line secured party with a perfected right of lien against the debtor defendant, and it would include confession of self-executing confession of judgment, and stipulated facts such as there is no controversy, they stipulate to the value and validity of the instrument, and that they confess to holding all liability in the matter as successor surety. That would be stage one. And everyone who's been listening to this program, I hope at this point, understands that process. Then, my very next process, 10 days later, when the notary issues the certificate of non-performance, I would move, and I would move in a number of ways. I would immediately either take the dishonor of the instrument and ship it on to Treasury for a liquidation process. That would be pure commerce. But sometimes that can take a while to manifest. Or I might provide further leverage and increase the heat, so to speak, and up the dose of castor oil by delivering a 3-day offer of immunity, giving them notice that in 3 days, if the non-response or default continues, we will assume the default is intentional, and here's what's going to happen: Treasury liquidation and delivery of a 1099 and possibly C, D, and E. It could include copies of proposed criminal complaints and other things of that sort. But if we get to the point, 13 days after the process started, where there is no response, then I'm moving, and I'm going to see this case close down. All of those questions that I asked earlier are possible areas where one can increase the pressure substantially by delivering this message to the public officials, namely that you will be required under oath to testify as to the disposition of the funds and to disprove the assumption that you have stolen funds in the special maritime jurisdiction, public funds belonging to the partially belonging to the Secretary of Treasury by way of being a joint beneficiary. So that the first and simplest procedure to do that would be the notary deposition process on the private side, and then shipping that document into the public side. We'll discuss that after the break.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Folks, if you have any questions about BIC, please send them along to me at takenoprisoners@hush.com. If you'd like to sign up for the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, which, by the way, we are starting to run out of space for, then please send an email to robertat@hush.com. And since I was caught with my tongue tied when I said Winston's seminar was canceled before the break, and what I meant to say was that there was an attempt to cancel, but it is still being held, thank goodness, then let me just mention you can find the information for signing up for Winston's seminar in Mansfield on July 13th. At his site, Winston Shroud Solutions and Commerce.com. We certainly hope to see you in Albany August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. It's a big comprehensive affair in a fine facility at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. Here's what I would do, and here's what we start talking about on day three of the conference. I would be thinking the following. I have my notary certificate in hand. Yes, I move on to treasury liquidation. Yes, I fill out a 1099. However, if they're putting me under pressure and I don't think I can wait, not just threats from them, and let me point that out. When a judge makes threats, if you send one more piece of paper in, we're going to hold you in contempt, That's one thing. But if he makes a threat such as, I'm going to ask the prosecutor to make a motion to hold you in contempt or something of that sort, as opposed to just doing it, then they're showing you weakness. You are actually winning. That is a victory, and you don't even see it because of the fear factor. But I would be taking that on the public side. I would be using certain procedures to put the pressure on the judge to rule based upon the evidence. I would ask a notary to file under notary seal any evidence that I wanted in the case, such as the notary's certificate of non-performance, or if there's more than one, attached to a notice of counterclaim with specific instructions that this is to be filed in the evidence file. This is to be filed as evidence. I would be calling a notary deposition. I would make a request of a notary for a deposition of myself at which I would read the evidence into the record based upon questions. We cover that process at the meeting. It's a very simple process to do. All the parties are invited. They never show. They never have shown. But if they did, we'd certainly be ready for them. And that deposition not only becomes a high form of evidence and is sent in by the notary to be filed in the evidence file, but it also signifies their default on the process. They had the opportunity to question, object, rebut, and they failed to plead. That is the end of the case, and I would put that into the case attached to a petition in the nature of a motion for summary judgment based upon the pleadings, all directly into the evidence file. There's the only piece of evidence, the notary's deposition and default on the deposition by all the other parties. And that should end the case, and it has ended cases. In fact, notary deposition has never failed in a case that I've been involved with, both administratively and judicially. I would be considering putting a petition into the case. And there are a million petitions you can do. How about a petition in the nature of a motion by special appearance for an instant bond hearing? Don't they like to call bond hearings? So do I. For the third party defendants, to identify a defect in bonded promissory note number 123 and show cause under penalty of perjury and full commercial liability why they should not be compelled to report to whatever it is, the state of Wisconsin Bureau of Prisons, no later than such and such a date, as certified confessed sureties for the defendant. But it wouldn't have to be report to the Bureau of Prisons, whatever the imposition is that's been placed on the defendant, to report on such and such a date to pretrial services, to report to probation, to report for a trial, or whatever it may be. They are the confessed sureties. Now, the word, the operative words here are third-party defendants. Folks, this is not just a cliché that I or some other lecturer throws around at a meeting. We've used third-party defendants in hundreds of cases with the understanding of just how important a third-party defendant is. If you're rear-ended by a car and your car is pushed into the bus ahead of you, that city will sue you through your insurance company. And your insurance company, which subrogates the rights, will turn around and sue the driver and the vehicle behind you who caused the accident. That driver and the vehicle behind you are third-party defendants. They're ultimately holding liability in the case. If you provide payment in a case and the party is holding the payment and failing to ledger the books, they become the liable party. Third-party defendants. This is a powerful weapon in anyone's arsenal. Why? Because if the judge and the clerk are named as third-party defendants, what on earth are they doing processing the case administratively? Why are they involved? Goodbye, judge. And by the way, the next judge knows he will be named as a third-party defendant. And we have, in fact, taken out entire departments. And believe me, courts don't like that. We've run it from department to department to the point where you get the feeling you could go into that town shooting with six shooters out of both hands and no one would come over and place you under arrest. The importance of the third-party defendant is that once you've established the third-party defendant in record, there's a million things you can do to move them off-center and make it more uncomfortable for them to continue business as usual. Make it such that in the equation of time is money, it doesn't pay to pursue this case any longer. And one of the things you could do is a petition of the sort that I just read. This petition is written entirely under public policy. In fact, I think this one is written entirely in negative averment. It is. The first paragraph says there is no evidence of a defect in United States certification contained in registered public record number such and such, that's the county filing number or the court filing number, issued by Jane Doe, who's a notary public, on behalf of the Secretary of State of the state of whichever state you're in, on or about a particular date, of third-party defendant's confession to participating in a theft of funds in the amount of, let's say, $5 million in the special maritime jurisdiction, and acceptance of full liability for all obligations formally attributed to legal fiction, whomever in case number and the name of this case, as confessed sureties thereof, nor that the said certification is not binding on all United States agents and subdivisions thereof. There it is in one paragraph. You have literally swept their legs out from underneath them. They now have to come in and prove that they're not the liable party. And if they ignore this pleading, you pounce. And I would pounce. Let me rephrase that. You don't do anything except what you feel comfortable with. If it was me, I'd be all over them. I would certainly consider putting in a petition to compel performance on this pleading, but I would probably go further. I would probably start expanding this and inviting more people to the party. Anyone who shields these people is in trouble. You have a third-party defendant still on the case. More than likely, they'll pull that judge from the case. But if they don't, the Lord has given you a blessing because now you can proceed in a number of different avenues, whether it be public policy with further Treasury liquidation, whether it be criminal complaints, judicial complaints, collateral complaints of civil actions, commercial liens, bankruptcy court, and a number of other venues that come to mind that very easily, any one of them very easily puts them in the one position you want the other party to be in, having to come in under oath, raise your right hand to say, I swear to tell the truth, and now they have to say under oath that that instrument is bogus, and they will never ever do that. That's why all that garbage only goes on in non-evidentiary hearings. And if you haven't done this, any of this in any of your cases, then you shouldn't be complaining that your technology is not working. Because let us look for our remedy within ourselves before we look elsewhere. It's within us to extract the remedy directly from our so-called enemies, even though we know these folks are not enemies, they're just misguided, lost souls. So I'd like to go to the lines right now. I believe Rhonda from, is it Missouri?
Yes.
Is on the phone?
Yes.
Hello, Rhonda. Thank you for being so patient. I've been a real motor mouth tonight.
Well, I love listening to you.
Rhonda, you have terrible taste in men, I can see.
I'm in the process of selling an account for my brother, a mortgage account. Saturday was the 10th day. He's not behind on any of his payments or anything. The question is, should he continue to make his payments while I follow through on the process, or would that be a recontract?
Yeah, that's a good question. That music means we have a short break coming up. That's an excellent question. Why don't we answer that after the break? Rhonda, thanks for calling. Stay tuned. Stay with us.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the second hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you'd like to attend the Law Merchant Leadership Conference and learn all about all of these enforcement strategies in detail, and by the way, at that conference, let me just look at that folder a minute. In the petitions folder, I would say we have at least 20 different petitions of the type we just read you to cover just about any situation instantly, all in public policy, most of them by negative averment, to be able to take back control on the public side. If you're interested in learning that material, then the place to be would be the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in Albany, New York, August 2nd through the 6th. It's a big, bad meeting, 5 whole days when you're immersed with other people, other like-minded souls, deeply embedded in commerce and the BIC system. And the way to attend would be to request an application from Roberta at RobertaT, as in Thomas, at hush.com. We're here talking to Rhonda, who posed a question regarding a process that you began 10 days ago?
They're 10 days. I mailed them a promissory note and appointed a fiduciary and to settle an account. Their 10 days was up Saturday. I got a phone call yesterday that he received a manila envelope from him. I haven't seen it yet, but they responded to him saying that that the promissory note wasn't gonna do.
Yeah, and it won't. Did you include a new contract?
No.
Okay, then I really don't want to tell you specifically what to do in a case like this. I'll tell you why, but I'll tell you what I would do. The reason I never tell anyone what to do, but especially in a case like this, is because the question you asked, Rhonda, which is a real good one, is you've ensured that he's continuing to make his mortgage payments.
Yes.
Am I right? And you're doing that out of fear-driven behavior because
he hasn't made a mortgage payment since I've done it. And
he hasn't. Okay. But your question was, should he continue making mortgage payments?
That was my question.
Yes. All right. Well, the idea of continuing making mortgage payments suggests a couple of things. First of all, did you have any documents in there that told them why the process is fraudulent and all of that stuff?
Did I have any documents to them?
Yes.
Why? What process was fraudulent?
You know, the typical Patriot kind of stuff that says we know this process is fraudulent, that we're borrowing back our own money and all that kind of stuff.
No.
Good. Well, that's one advantage. When many Patriots have asked me this, and years ago I was involved in this kind of stuff where we would continue making the payments, excuse me, because we were afraid of what would happen if we didn't. But the fact is that that particular slice of fear-driven behavior is based upon a false premise. And that false premise is that somehow that will prevent a foreclosure so long as you pay your bills. Once you've gone ahead with a private note like this, they will more than likely, the odds are greater than even, that they will move to foreclosure regardless if every dollar on the account is paid. And most mortgages and deeds of trust are written such that the confession of judgment that's built into them is very broad so that they have the right they have the right to move that contract, to close out that contract through foreclosure for just about any ground, including if you've been beating your wife or your husband. So foreclosure is a very unique, special area, and what we feel has to be done is the contract has to be rewritten. That's urgent, and that's what we do in our stage one presentation methodology, where we present an entire redraft of the contract to the parties along with the promissory note. The promissory note is registered. If you've done a BIC promissory note, it is a registered instrument. That's what the registered mail number is all about. And nonetheless, it is insufficient to be able to address the contract. The best it can do is replace the previous promissory note, which is not registered. As you know, they do not file the promissory note in with the county. That's intentional. They don't want it filed.
Right.
Because if it became a registered instrument, the account would be paid, and they would have to a rescission on the mortgage would have to follow, or a return of the mortgage would have to follow. They would have to release the document. So, what we like to do is include a fairly comprehensive administrative redraft of the contract, and it would include our own confession of judgment, their stipulation that the account is fully paid, their stipulation that the previous contract has been honored, and any other stipulations that you'd like to build in, because you know they are going to agree to all of your terms by their failure to respond. That music means we have a short break coming up. Rhonda, would you mind staying with us?
Absolutely.
Very good. Stick with us. Folks, you're listening to Take No Mortgages. Excuse me, Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Take No Prisoners, but right now we're going to become Take No Mortgages at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're talking to our caller, Rhonda, who's brought up an interesting question about a process, not in foreclosure, but in attempting to use a BIC approach to close out a mortgage contract. Is that correct, Rhonda?
That's correct.
You know, we have a nifty item that I had not plan to include at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference last, I don't know what it was, maybe April. And on the second or third day of the conference, we had a defect on the CD, so we reissued the CD and recalled the others. And I did include it on that reissued CD as a favor to, in fact, the couple in New Jersey that I mentioned earlier in the program. And this item is I hate to use the word, the expression, because it will raise connotations of something it's not, but it's called an international commercial claim within the Admiralty. It's actually an international commercial lien within the Admiralty, but it is like none you've ever seen. This is a contract that I worked on for about 3.5-4 months straight, not even wrapping it around other things, and I based it upon a format structure that I devised one day after reading the depositors agreement that Bank of America was kind enough to send me, and then going into a number of insurance contracts that I had when I was in practice for many years, and came up with what I think is absolutely the best vehicle if I were involved in a foreclosure or a mortgage action of any sort. I would use this even over and above the comprehensive administrative remedy in the stage one BIC folder. The stage one is presentment. This is an enforcement strategy sitting in the stage two enforcements folder, but I would move it up to stage one. I would use it as the presentment vehicle. The reason I say international commercial claim is not an accurate statement or not an accurate title is because it is it includes a false process and a default process and true bills and the whole thing to develop a complete commercial lien in a way that will be immediately recognizable on the public side. You'd be shocked if you saw this contract. But regardless, whatever contract you're trying to redraft commercially in a non-criminal venue, excuse me, you would want that contract to have certain elements, and those elements that are essential in a mortgage situation are confession of judgment and a complete redraft of the original mortgage contract, indicating that the account has been paid, the contract has been satisfied, and most importantly, that the original contract was defective because there was no offer of consideration. They never provided consideration. And once they failed to rebut that in the new contract, 10 days later when the notary issues the new certificate, you have your new contract in hand. That's your counterclaim along with the promissory note. That's the way I would be doing it.
Okay. So the promissory note they have now, they're just going to keep it.
Did they keep the promissory note you sent over?
I sent it through a notary, and they were supposed to send it back to the notary. And as far as I know, he hasn't got it back, but they responded to my brother.
Yeah, but they didn't respond by returning that note in the packet to your brother?
No.
All right. So they're in possession of payment.
Right.
And has 72 hours elapsed?
Their 10 days was up Saturday.
The account's paid. All you have to do now is redraft the contract. I can't tell you what will happen. I can't tell you what to do. I suspect if you do an effective redraft, it's not too late, but you wouldn't want to wait very long.
Mm-hmm.
If you do an effective redraft, then I suspect that you'll be getting a telephone call from the attorney for the other side.
Okay, so just send a redraft of the contract out tomorrow, have the notary send it.
I would follow the same notary process. I don't know if you'll get it out tomorrow. You'll want to write a very careful redraft so that you have all the particulars you want in that contract, right?
Right.
You want confession of judgment. You want
consideration.
I'm sorry?
Failure consideration.
Yes, that's the big issue. Failure of consideration. That would be under your statement of facts that on such and such a date this was done, on such a date that was signed, on such a date you provided consideration or your brother did on such and such a date. Yeah, and as of the date of uttering of this contract, number such and such, there is no evidence that party B has ever provided consideration on the original contract. So the original contract is null and void, hereby rescinded, and now we have the replacement. Please approve it or deny it within 10 days. Pretty straightforward, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
It could be that easy, but keep me posted, will you? TakeNoPrisoners@Hush.com. Let me know what happens.
Okay. Thank you for your help.
Thank you for calling, Rhonda. John in California.
Yes,
I am Sam.
I'm out in Humber, California, and my wife and I are mired in a civil case here in the Los Angeles Superior Court. I've already recused one judge, the second judge in the case. They're rogue judges. The second judge has threatened, in a hearing on June the 7th, he threatened to issue the order to the sheriff to sell our house. And that was a threat that hasn't happened yet. We've recently come to hear about the BIC process. My question is twofold. Do we have enough time to turn this around? And secondly, the notary acceptor, is the notary acceptor vital to this process, or can one work without a notary acceptor?
Well, why don't we answer the second part of the question first?
Okay.
By the way, you sure you're not an attorney?
I am not, no.
You present yourself very well. You
oh.
have a good presence, and that's why we were not interrupting you saying, what's your question? Nice job.
Thank you.
So you tell me if you need a notary.
How
are you going to certify whatever you do?
Yes, you need one.
All right. So let's go to the first question. And the first question is there enough time? Well, what's your deadline here, John?
It's open-ended. I mean, the judge can issue the order to the sheriff to conduct a sale of our house.
Right.
We
see those sales all the time, and we see a lot of those sales interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
If it was me, John, you know, I'd have been issuing indemnity bonds last Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
But you can't should have on Wednesday on Friday. So what I would do in a situation like that is I would get indemnity bonds out right away.
Okay.
And then I would immediately what was this, a foreclosure situation?
Oh no, this is a credit holder in due process scam credit card deal that's been going on. The debt collectors all over our town right here doing the same thing to a lot of different people.
Well, did you have a credit card with these people?
I didn't. My wife did a long time ago.
And so they somehow got a judgment, and now they're trying to enforce the judgment against the property.
These are default judgments that they're handing out like candy over here at the Alhambra Courthouse.
Well, they do. The clerk can sign off on those judgments, you know. If you don't show up, well, it's a very simple computer process. They put in just a one-page, well, you know, they just put in a one-page lawyer's complaint on the thing, and if there's no response, then the default judgment follows a few days later. Yeah. So, well, it's in the hands of the court now, and the court is holding all of the cards and making all of the offers.
Right.
The liability and the rights have been subrogated to the court. So it's the court that I would deal with if I was in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would... You're familiar with the BIC process?
Only somewhat. I haven't gone through it and studied it thoroughly. I'm just getting into it.
Well, I'll tell you, we have an awful lot of people coming to the conference from California.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 10 or 15 people coming over. It's something you might want to consider.
Yes.
You can send off an email and find out about carpooling from Roberta. We've actually had a lot of people drive directly from California, which is one way to cut costs, even though we had days on. But anyway, I mention that because I'm trying to think who we have out there who might be able to work with you from the last conference. We'd have to check.
Mm-hmm.
But in a situation like this, we would want to get the promissory note and the appropriate papers.
Mm-hmm.
You may only have time for a notice of counterclaim, which is in the option stage one presentation folder.
Mm-hmm.
Option one is notice of counterclaim. Or if there was time, we would go to option three, the comprehensive remedy, and since it is a court case, and place it on their bench. I would pull all of the jurisdictional stuff out of it. That would be more appropriate in a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd want to keep it pretty straightforward public policy that the account is hereby paid and the liability is shifted, and now deal with it. I would, if it was me, I would also want a separate process notifying the sheriff. Now, the timing on that can be a little tricky, but it's unlikely the sheriff would get to a sale in under 10 days. They usually have to provide notice and public notice and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So you would have time probably for the 10 days to elapse to have the notary certificate issued and then take the certificate and deliver it over to the sheriff with an administrative remedy that would also include his own promissory note. That's probably, just in general, that's probably the approach that I would take on it. You know, there's always room for jello. There's always time to get something done, but that's not the real issue. The real issue is, should you be doing this process? Do you have enough knowledge?
Yes.
Understanding?
I feel very confident. I've spent a lot of time in the courtroom. I've recused judges. I feel very confident with your...
What about in commerce, John? Do you have commercial experience?
I'm a secured party. No, I do not. I do not have a
All
lot
right.
of commercial
That's
experience.
That's really what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You probably, I mean, I can tell you handle yourself well and you're a quick thinker, so you would probably do well in the courtroom, but you really have to know what the issues are in the courtroom.
Yes.
When you're coming in commerce. And the best suggestion I make to people in a scenario like you're describing where you don't have that experience is just be a creditor. What would you do if someone owed you money, you were first-in-line creditor, and the court had a case going against that party? Man, you'd come in and say, Judge, I'd like to speak on that matter. We haven't had time to file papers, but I am an interested party. Do you mind if I step forward? Here's my statement of interest, blah, 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 and I'm first in line. Nothing can proceed beyond here without me being taken care of first, and I want you to know that. I want that on the record right now. Mm. Isn't that the way you'd address it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what a secured party is. But people get timid because they don't really believe they're a secured party. Do you believe you're a secured party?
I'm more and more confident now. That's why the judge ran out of the courtroom that very day, the day of the hearing, because
yes.
I told him who I was. I'm a Christian man. I'm a secured party. I went through the... I memorized that.
And he looked in your eye, and he knew you meant business.
Yes. That's
his. Yeah, well, let me interrupt you 1 second there. Mm-hmm. John, this is a lesson for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think commerce doesn't work, if you're a diehard sort of an old-time patriot, and I'm an old-time patriot,
yeah,
but I've come over to commerce. If you're a diehard old-time patriot and you think commerce doesn't work or you hate it because it's the devil's work, just listen to what John is saying here, because most of the cases, most of the feedback I get is that the minute we go to commerce, things just go haywire for them. Yeah, they can threaten to do this, but suddenly they start reacting differently. They treat you more respectful. They don't pat you down going into the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
They claim they haven't seen your papers, but somehow the hearing didn't come out the way they had planned. They give you a contempt citation, but it's a repeat of what was done before, and nothing's changed, and on and on and on. Tell us about your experience.
Well, my experience that particular day was the hearing to determine whether or not he was going to issue the order to the sheriff to sell our house. I immediately took control of that meeting. I did not allow him to say anything, and I told him right from the very get-go that I was the secured party. I'm a Christian man, and I went through your whole spiel right there. I memorized it that particular day.
I got a lot of spiels. Which one was that?
Well, the one I told him, I said, look, let the record show that I appear today as a living, breathing Christian man in rerum natura, known as John Robert of the family Sorensen, with my name spelled in upper and lower case, and full rights reserved under God and as guaranteed in the federal and state constitutions, without waiving any rights, remedies, or defenses, especially the defense that this court lacks in personam jurisdiction.
Well,
and
that's
I didn't
one
stop
of my
right.
older spiels, John. You're lucky you didn't wind up arrested.
I didn't stop right there. I told him that if you'd like me to give, I'd like you to give me, I'd, if, I would like to give you my name, but I'm appearing here exclusively by special appearance as a living, breathing Christian man upon the free soil of this land. First in line, paramount, secured party creditor.
What did he do about the secured party creditor issue?
What did he do?
What did you do? Did you tell him, I'm first in line, I want to get paid first, where's your check, anything of that sort?
Yeah, I told him, I told him that I came here to settle this whole situation. I'm ready to settle. And he wouldn't accept, the judge would not accept, he wanted only Federal Reserve notes.
Uh-huh. And what did what did he say? I'm not going to accept the promissory note?
And I said he wouldn't accept my bond. I gave the court a bond.
All right. That music means we're headed to a break. I want to hear more about this. We'll only have a few minutes after the break, but it's an interesting case, and I know the listeners would like to hear what happens here. You know, if a judge doesn't accept my offering, it's one of those stupid moves that gives me all the opportunity and all the opening I need in the case. Certainly, I might say, foreign on the record, is your position that you're refusing payment.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. We're having an interesting conversation right here at Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network with John from California. John, we have very little time left, so I'm going to move us through this very quickly. First of all, regarding that long spiel, it's for any of you listening, that's a compilation of many things, folks. you want to get right to the point. If it's not a criminal case, you might come right in and say something like, I'm here today as the first in line paramount creditor to the debtor defendant, just like you would if you were a creditor in any other scenario. Bailiff, here's my statement of interest. Please hand it to the judge. Now, doesn't that really say special appearance in and of itself? Because you're obviously not a legal fiction. And if the judge were to turn down the statement of interest, the UCC-1, I'd ask him point blank, am I to understand you're dishonoring my claim in this admiralty venue? Is that your position, sir? I'd want to know right away. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah. For and on the record. And if you don't answer, I'm going to assume that you are dishonoring my claim. You said the Federal Reserve note issue is a beaut. When they do that, you've got them. You've got them where you want them. Because yes.
He said, do you have the money? Did you bring cash, Federal Reserve notes? And I said, excuse me, Your Honor, excuse me. But for the record, are you saying that you're expecting me to pay down a public liability with Federal Reserve notes? Is that what you're saying? He said to me, it's California law. He said,
all right.
The very next thing he said is, I'm going to issue the order to the sheriff to sell the house. And he ran right out of the courtroom.
Let me just make a suggestion here that you had an opportunity, and we don't want you kicking yourself about this, but very often we move to controversy even by question. If he said, did you bring the money, I would just said, here's payment. Bailiff, would you give this to the judge and let him turn around and say, I can't accept this, or this is no good, or did you bring Federal Reserve notes, at which point you say, am I to understand you're ordering me to pay in anything other than gold or silver? Now you have him because he's in a state court and you have got him. And if he were to go beyond that and say, I'm ordering you to pay in Federal Reserve notes, well, let the record show you're ordering me to pay in something other than gold or silver.
Ouch.
I'm going to have to read you your Miranda rights, sir. You have a right to remain silent. That's exactly what I would say to him. You have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. I think we're in a situation where I'm going to have to order that bailiff to place you under arrest unless you want to reconsider. I'm not public, so I'll give you I'll be a magnanimous guy and give you an opportunity to rethink what you just said.
Can we replay that court hearing? I'd like to do that again.
Well, now you just learn. There are no failures here. There are just opportunities for learning, and you'll have others.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do anything, then obviously you need to move rather quickly.
Yes.
He may be sitting on it because what did he do with the promissory note?
Did you
give it to them?
I did not give them a promissory note. No.
What did you intend to pay them with?
I intend to pay them with a promissory note. Yes.
All right. Well,
yes.
I'm not telling you to do that. And
no.
We have to. That music means we're done.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
But once he has payment in his hand, it's a little harder to order the sheriff's sale if it's done properly.
Got it. Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much.
John, thanks for joining me. I enjoyed it. Folks, I hope you enjoyed the program tonight. Some serious subject matter tonight and some real good technology in the second half. We will see you next Sunday night, I hope. 9 p.m. Sunday night for another edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Good night, all.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you